All right, we're in Galatians chapter 5. And, it says 1 through 15. We're only going to be going 1 through 10. I should learn to proof check all my stuff here. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are the household of faith. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, and we ask that you would add your blessing to it. Lord, may it become part of who we are. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you remember teaching your kids to walk? Grandkids to walk. Oh, I can remember, you know, as that new parent, you know, it was almost like a brag thing for you, a little pride thing. We'll say it right there. You wanted your kid to start walking, and you know, what would you do? You'd hold him up, and you know, you take a couple of steps there, you let him go, and then fall. Get him back up, take a couple of steps, let go. They might take a step, and then fall. And you know, sometimes we just kind of get excited, you know, what would they do? You'd have this coffee table here and another end table over here, and the baby would, you know, hold on to one and then reach and we go, oh, we took a step. No, basically it was a control fall, but you know, we were parents, that was okay. But you know, after a while, you know, there was no need to hold on to daddy's hand. There was no need to kind of cruise, you know, holding on to the wall and the tables and everything else. What would happen? Man, they would start walking. Man, it seemed like they'd take those first good steps, and the next thing that happened, they would start running and running away from you in the store, right? They went straight from taking one or two steps to, you know, looking around in the mall. Where are they at? Where are they at? So, you know, it's okay to take a couple of stumbling steps. You know, we all don't mature at the same rate. I think my son was just so used to being carried around. You know, he by the time he was 17, it's like, son, you just need to walk by yourself now. His mama would have carried him everywhere. But you know, there comes a time where we need to walk in maturity. We need to kind of, you know, stop holding on to some things and walk in the way the Lord has called us to. Well, let's take a look here in this last portion of Galatians that we're going to go through, and what this is the crowning kind of summary that Paul is doing. We've spent all these five chapters, and he has told them, here's what you've done wrong. Here, remember this theology. Hey, you're all part of Abraham's family. You know, we got to get all this right. And if okay, we've got it all set up. You've got this all right. Now is the time to take and start walking this out. He gives them the charge. He explains the kind of theology behind it. He does all this stuff. And now it's time to you put your faith into action. You let go of the side of the couch. And you take those steps, take steps of faith. Now notice it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual, we can also put mature right there, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. This is one of the things, and we'll take it. There's three things he's talking about here. And this is church discipline, again. You notice Most of Paul's epistles have at least a couple sentences, a couple scriptures there about something that's going wrong. How does he handle it? And Galatians is no different. He's going to talk about transgression, restoration, and examination. Now, transgression. Most of the time, we know that transgression means that you transgress a law, that you have broken a law, and that, well, God has a moral law for us. Now, why in the world? Think of it. This is the first century. They are just a couple years removed from Jesus. Paul the apostle was there. Why in the world is there a problem in the church at that stage with people messing up? Because they're human. Now, one of the things, let me read this. Jesus told a parable one time. He said, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and they bore grain, the weeds appeared also. The servants came to the master of the house and they said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servants said to him, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to gather them up? He said, no, lest in gather the weeds, you root them up, root up the weed along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. You see, since the beginning, good seed has been sown. And you know, it doesn't take much, especially whenever we're a weak Christian or a new Christian, to kind of get off track. And that's what had happened in Galatia. Oh, they received the good word. They received the good seed. But what happens? Well, an agent of the enemy comes in and starts creating division. Starts on, oh, you're not part of the family of God unless you become Jewish. You're not part of the family of God unless you observe the Torah. And you know what? When people come in and start preaching false doctrine, they look like real. They may even start out as real. But what happens? Well, they cause people to stumble. And this word transgression, or the phrase that it's with transgression, is a little different than sometimes we think of transgression. And, well, first off, it means that we're going to detect something that is going wrong or wrongdoing. But the image is of a false step made where somebody stumbles and falls. They lose their footing. You know, that's easy. We've all seen our children, you know, they'll start walking and they're doing real good. And then what happens? You know, they step on the toy. They feet slide out under where it's a little slick. And they fall unaware. They didn't think, oh, I'm going to fall. They run along there. They fell. And this is what Paul is talking about here. It's not those people who say, you know what? By golly, I'm going to do this. I don't care who thinks I shouldn't. No, these are people who almost accidentally, who lose their footing. I know all sin is intentional, but you know what? Sometimes if someone has been taught something that is wrong and they believe it, it makes it easier to slip and fall. And so what we're supposed to do, what the mature or spiritual are supposed to do, they're supposed to keep an eye out for when those things happen. And, you know, this is discipline. And you know what? This is kind of placed in a conspicuous place in the Bible. What did we kind of talk about last week? We talked about the fruit of the Spirit and... Oh, come on, most of y'all were here. What's the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit? Works of the flesh. Oh, come on, guys, man. Go check your notes here. Everybody's looking at it like deer in the headlight. I don't want to give an answer. This might be wrong here. Oh, my goodness. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, and drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warned you, and I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, so he has talked about the works of the flesh. Now he's talking about people stumbling. And remember, that idea of stumbling is kind of an unaware, oops, I didn't realize I was going down this path type thing here. Now, you know, I'm looking at that list, and I kind of picked out these as kind of one of the ones that you could kind of stumble on. You know, I'm thinking some of those other things you're pretty aware of. Sexual immorality, idolatry. Yeah, you're kind of aware of those. But you know what? These other things could kind of sneak up on people. There are some people, well, like in the church at Galatia, they were making trouble. And they didn't say, you know what, I'm going to cause trouble. No. They made trouble because, well, they've been influenced by the enemy to plant some bad seed. Jealousy. And jealousy is one of those things, it can just crop up when we see somebody else receiving a blessing or somebody else has something. And you know what? We don't even realize that sometimes we can be a little jealous of that, can't we? Anger. Anger is kind of a natural reaction sometimes. Selfishness. Making people angry with the other. Causing divisions among people. Being envious. You know, these are when I look at the works of the flesh, these are kind of the ones that I can see somebody falling into. And sometimes, people aren't even aware of what they're doing. As a matter of fact, I would say most of the time, there are very few people who say, you know what, I could do something just to make you mad. Yeah, I don't want you getting mad. I'm going to cause a little trouble. And you know what, your wife's going to yell at you. It's going to be all those things. No. If somebody does that, they're psychotic as well as sinning. But it's easy for us to kind of slip and to fall into things if we're not firmly grounded in God's Word. And that's what was happening at the Church of Galatia. Now, our role as those who are mature in Christ, as those who are spiritual, is restoration. You see, that's what we want to do as mature Christians. It's one thing. And I've seen, you know, how many of y'all remember the safety patrol back when you were in middle school or high school? Those were bitches, weren't they? These guys wear their stinking little orange belt with a little badge on it there and their little notebook. And they would write down when you were running in the hall. You remember them? Didn't you hate them? I tried to be one, but they wouldn't choose me for some reason. We're not called to be the safety patrol. Oh, I see you're going wrong here. Let me write this down and turn it in to the pastor. Woo! Now, the idea of correcting somebody when they've done something wrong is restoration. That is the goal. And this is something that you can't be a stumbling baby and restore somebody. But you know what? There comes a time where, you know, we can choose to not wear the Pampers. And we can start walking in maturity. So it is the duty of the mature, of the spiritual, to restore people back to good standing. It is the duty of the mature to carefully, carefully do this. Because you have to be mindful that you don't become proud. Now, a lot of times, what ends up happening in churches, I've been around churches my whole life, is that we have some people who have oops and fell. And you know what? Some of the church just kind of sits there with their arms crossed. I can't believe they're doing that. They call themselves a Christian. And then other people in the church, they're just like, well, you know how they are. Oh my goodness, you'll just get used to it. That's just the way they are. Oh, you know what? Neither one of those is what we're supposed to do. You know what? If we would, when we see some people doing the oops, you know, if we just go to them and say, oh, you know, when I hear you speak like that, oh, it just hurts my heart. You know, that's not right. That causes division. That causes people to have heart hurt feelings. Wouldn't that be better than just, well, that's just the way they are. And you know what? Those of us who are mature, whenever we see people
oops, a little stumble, if we would gently do our part, this is what we're supposed to do. If you're walking into maturity, if you consider yourself a mature person, and you know what, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, there's probably a whole lot of mature people here. And you know what, if we would gently correct people, if we would just say, hey, that's not the way we do things. You know what, I think the church would become more pure, would become stronger, and more mature. Restoration is what we want to do. I know of a church one time where the pastor did some correction, and the goal was restoration, and split the church down the middle. Because they said, you know what, you should kick that guy out. You can't forgive him for what he did. Really? I'm not looking at God's word. It says that we should forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Ouch. So we have to examine. Paul put it this way. Keep an eye or watch out for yourself. Because you know what, sometimes if we're correcting somebody, and you know what, the Bible calls for us to do this. Now this is not one of the things that we do very often, and so sometimes we might not be very good at it. But the thing that we have to be careful of is that pride get in the way. You see, that's kind of a trap. We should discipline and we should correct people, but we have to be careful that it's done in love, with the idea that I want to restore that person to right standing. And part of restoring somebody to right standing is to let them know and to work with them so that they understand the seriousness of what they've done. Like I said, we're not a safe control. Sister Kim, I heard you use harsh words. You shouldn't do that. I'm going to call you down in front of everybody here. I'm going to call you out, woman.
That's what not to do.
I know I can pick on her. I'll get it when I get home here. She always smacks me in the back of the head. That's the way the mark one shows. Okay, no, this is for us. And we're getting ready to take communion here in a little while. And, you know, this calls for examining ourselves and our motives. But let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Wow. Notice this. We're allowed to boast.
But we're allowed to boast in what the Lord has done in us. There's a difference. Paul would boast in the Lord. Boast in what... How far God has brought him. Man, he was a scoundrel. Took a road to Damascus to set him straight. But you know what? He told people about what happened. Now, when you're testing your own motives,
I kind of think you need to look at this. Number one, attitude. You can do the right thing and have a lousy attitude. And it's no bueno. Attitude should be humility. What's your motivation? Is your motivation to cause that person to grow, to restore that person to right fellowship, or is your motivation to, hey, I'm the safe control, and you did wrong, and I'm pointing it out?
Is it in obedience to the word?
Or is it according to some tradition that you hold on to?
Take a look. Is it in your gifting?
Wow, there's a thought. Sometimes the Lord gifts us to do certain things. And you know what? Sometimes when we get out of our gifting, we begin to do other things there. Things can go all sideways.
Amen.
Is it for edification of the church? Is it for the edification of the person that is being corrected?
And is it for God's glory? Man, if you're mature, you're held to a higher standard. You have to be. And the thing about it is, you have a responsibility.
You have to help those little ones make their way up. You know, if you just let your kid figure out how to walk by themselves, eventually they would have. But take them a whole lot longer, wouldn't it? We need to get behind those immature Christians.
And there's nothing wrong with being an immature Christian. It's just a problem if you've been an immature Christian for 20 years. I'll leave that one there. All right. Self-testing. Here's what Paul told the Corinthians about it. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize about this yourself that Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?
And this is talking to the mature Christians. Man, what is your attitude? Why are you doing this? Am I putting Jesus first? No, this is for mature Christians. Because, some of the immature Christians, they start to question. And we've all known them. Man, somebody's done a lot. I've been saved too long. They start asking questions. Oh, am I really saved? Oh, man, did this really happen to me? We as mature Christians need to come alongside those who are young and who are weak. Say, oh, yeah, come on. You know. You were there. You accepted Jesus. You're walking according to his will. But this is for mature. And that's the problem. Sometimes we think that we have it. Hey, I'm good. I'm mature. And we don't examine ourselves on a regular basis. And then some small things begin to creep up. And next thing you often wonder how some big name preachers, and we've all seen them, and we found that they're caught in gross sin. We've all seen them. And we wonder, how in the world could they get there? One little bit of sin at a time. A lack of self-examination. A lack of being faithful to what God word. A lack to have people speak into their life.
If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing. Man, that's hard if Paul's saying to him.
If you think you're something I find out that I have a fault in my life by my own self-examination, so that I go, oops, I hope nobody saw that. Pray, repent, allow the Holy Spirit to grow me. Then have somebody else go up there and go, Pastor, need to have a talk with you.
All right, now, at the end of this,
it tells us, for each one has to bear his own load. But you know, it starts out with, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
This is a balancing act. And the difference in this is maturity.
First one, bear one another's burdens. There are some things that we need to come alongside of people and help them with. That's what the burden is. It is something that's a little bit heavy and a little bit hard, and it chafes a little bit.
We all need somebody to come along and help us bear a burden. But you know what? It says each one will have to bear his own load. There's a difference between a burden and a load.
We might think of this more along the lines of, what has God called you and gifted you and placed you in his kingdom, in his body of Christ to do? He has loaded that on you. Jesus says, my burden is light. And so as you're working in that, you're bearing your own load. But there's a person who struggles with an old lifestyle habit. That's where we need to come alongside. Notice the difference of this is maturity. And there's nothing wrong with needing help with your burden. But Jesus has called us all to fulfill a certain purpose within the kingdom.
And that is, like I said, that is the matter of maturity. Now, moving along in this, we come across...
And one thing, I had to rewrite my sermon on Thursday. Because I came across this and I realized I had forgotten a basic Bible study principle. The first one was where Paul used opposites. We'll go back there. Bear one another's burdens, fulfill the law of Christ, each one must bear his own load. Paul is using opposites to make a point on what's in between there. Now, what he's done on this one
is he has bookended these things.
Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are the household of faith.
Man, this is maturity. And this is why it's also considered, this is all considered one paragraph, which means if we're going to do Bible study, we need to look at it at the paragraph level. We take a look at this. Each one of these two scriptures, they work together, even though there was nothing in between them. It's called bookends. Now, what happens in a bookend, and here's a little Bible study extra for you, is that what is at the beginning and what is at the end of a bookend, everything in the middle has to be translated or has to be interpreted within the bookends. Paul didn't write, or Jesus didn't talk, in stream of consciousness. Y'all remember that verse? It's just kind of these thoughts that just come to your mind that just get, you just put them out there, they really don't relate to each other. Jesus nor Paul spoke in stream of consciousness. Each one of these was divinely inspired to be in the place, and so that they influence what's in between them and how you interpret them. You cannot divorce the scriptures that are between those to mean something else with it. It has to relate to both of the ends of the book. As I think of it this way, the front of your car and the back of your car. Everything in the middle is still the car, right? The front end and the back end define what's in the middle. Same way with scripture. All right, so we're going to you learn a little bit here, and this is when you're moving towards maturity. All right. These bookends. Real simple. Teachers teach. Recipients support. We do good, and especially for fellow Christians. And one of the things that is good relates back to the first scripture. The teacher teaches. The recipient support. It's basically, and both of those scriptures have, well, in the Greek, they have a monetary meaning. Paul's talking about money here. Oh my goodness. And this is why it's for mature people. Because one of the things, you know, some people will say, well, you know, what's mine is mine. But you know what? Everything that we have is a gift from God. And God cares about what's on our checkbook register. And it shows what we value. Oh my, I'm preaching here. Let me move on here. Now, we take a look at the bookends here. It's going to explain what's in the middle. That teaching, well, that's the old word that we come up with, catechisms. I know not a lot of our friends here, we have a Catholic background. Catechism is basically the teaching of what we believe. And a good teacher will teach what God's word says. And so that word, the recipients, that is actually like the receptive form of the word catechism. That means, you know, basically it means the one who receives the instruction. And in doing that, it tells us that the recipients share and support in all good things. And that means things that have value. Do good, especially to fellow Christians. Paul would say, it says in Galatians, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And so, what was Christ teaching about support for the ministers and support for the word? Paul would say of Jesus, he says, in the same way the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospels should get their living by the gospel. What you support or what you believe in, you should support. Now, I'm not just talking about this church. Now, did you notice that? It said, especially those of the household of faith. Paul was speaking about Christians taking care of Christians. Not in a, I'm praying for you, we should all pray for each other. But it means that we come alongside and we help when it costs us. And by cost, I'm talking about a financial cost. You see, this is definitely a step in maturity. Because the church was not designed to be a bunch of individuals who come together once a week and sing songs they like and hear words. But we're a community. We're a family. Our name is Family Christian Center. And you know what? We love everybody. We care for everybody. And yes, there are times where we need to support those who are without. And you know, you guys are doing a good job on this. Some of you are a little sheepish there, but you know, guys, we do a pretty good job of this. Some of you need to start doing a better job of this, though. That's a step of maturity.
Now, and kind of the strange thing about this, if we, you know, I've used the scripture a gazillion times, but in the context about this, this is talking about supporting ministry, supporting Christians. I was really surprised. This is why I was three-fourths way through my sermon. Whenever I came across and started reading this, and it started bugging me, and I started listening, and I went back there, and I thought, oh, wait, there's a scripture, this scripture. And so when I checked with a theologian that I really like and who does the word really good, and he said, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap.
Wow. Let me read a little bit here. This must be related to the bookend scriptures. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Tom Wright, a charismatic Anglican scholar, puts it this way. People who think they can do without serious teaching and emerge unscathed as Jesus followers are fooling themselves. God, he says, is not mocked. Just as the general truth, if people support those that do wicked, so then the more specific point here, if I can put it crudely, is you reap what you sow. In other words, you get what you pay for. He's talking about the false teachers, the Judaizers, as well as the good teachers. If you're supporting the bad teachers, the Judaizers, well, those are the false teachers. You're going to get what you sow into. If you support the careful teachers, once again, you're going to get what you sow into. The false teachers in Galatia, what'd they say? They said, oh, you got to be Jewish. You got to get circumcised. You got to keep the law. You got to observe. You got to eat kosher. You got to do all these things. And what happens? Because of that, well, they stumble. The careful teachers, the word first, the clear teaching, the Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What do you get? You get careful Christians. Paul would say to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by His appearing in the kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Here's what you're supposed to do with the word. This ties into what Paul was saying for the mature. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Because there will come a time when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Wow. There are those who are saying, you know what, it's not really important who we listen to. They got these nice guys over here. They're talking about Judaism and Abraham. And if we really want to be, you know, children of Abraham, then, you know, we need to follow that direction. Let's be Jewish. You know, those who are going that way have already deceived themselves. Those people who think that they can add something to the being saved, being a Christian. False teachers, they're being deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that will he also reap. Notice, Paul was afraid they were going to reap the works of the flesh because they were tempted to go into Judaism. Remember, you can't keep the whole law, and if you fail in one part of the law, you're guilty of all of it. And the other part, the careful teaching, was we are children of Abraham through faith. You see, this is the two sides that they're struggling with at Galatia. The seeds. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit, notice what? Will from the Spirit reap eternal life. From his own flesh. You know, if we look in the book of Galatians there, we find these weeds. Desires. Selfish desires. I want what I want. We find pride. Paul has to address that. We find legalism. We find division in the church. We find preferences. All that's just found in Galatians.
They are tempted to listen to the false teachers. And what happens? Weeds. Sow to the flesh. You will the flesh reap corruption. Guys, that's death. Going the way of the false teacher. Going the way of the immature and allowing and going down it. You know, that's why we need to pull people back into the church, into correct standing with God, into what is scripturally right. Because if we don't, they're gonna go down the way of the flesh. See, it's a matter of maturity for us who are mature. We need to pull those people back into right standing. We need to reestablish them within the church. Because if they don't, they're going to die in their sins. And dying in their sins has one consequence and one consequence only. And that's the eternity in hell away from Jesus Christ. Or you know what? You can sow to the Spirit. Man. We look in Galatians. These are all found in Galatians. First off, there's benevolence. That's where we care for people who don't have. We're going to be burden bearers. If we're going to sow to the Spirit, we're going to want to help people in their struggles. Once again, generosity. We're going to support the ministries that go on. And you know what? There's this phrase. And in the Greek, it's translated doing good. You know what that translates literally from the Greek? Doing good. There's no qualifier on that. Find good and do it. Do good for somebody else. Jesus says, you know what? I was hungry, you fed me. You did good. I was naked and you bought coats. You did good. I was in prison and you did a prison ministry. That was good. I was alone. And you came to me. Brought me into your house. That was good. You see, good is kind of ill-defined because you know what? Good is so can be so different. And you know what? When we meet someone at their point of need, we're doing good. Oh yeah. And loving your neighbor as yourself. Paul would add to that, doing what God has called you to do. That's all good. And when you do the good, when you sow the Spirit, almost fell off. When you sow the Spirit, man, what? We reap life everlasting. Amen. I don't need to break that one down, do I? You go to heaven. All right, let's go here on the farm here. We're going to get ready. We're wind this thing down. We're going to have a baptismal service. But first, we're going to take communion. People were wondering if I was going to remember that one, but I am. All right. And you know, all these things are bracketed by scripture that's talking about finances. Talking about what you support. You know, show me your checkbook register or your bank statement. I'll tell you what you care about. Because what you care, you invest in. All right, well, let me read another parable here from Jesus. From Luke chapter 12. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said this, I will do this. I will tear down my barns, and I will build bigger ones, and I will store up all my grain and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be then? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Wow. You see, it matters and God cares with what we do with our money. You know, we can't stick it in our pockets and take it over with us. But you know what? We can send it ahead. By doing the good works, by managing our money according to the way God tells us to. You know, Paul said one of the reasons for working and working hard so that we'll have something to share with others. God cares how we spend our money. You know what? Where your heart is, Well, that's where your affection is there. You know, if you're loving the things of the world, you know, there's going to be a trumpet sound. You just might stay with the world with all the things that you love. But you know what? If you, instead of knocking down the barns, if you say, take your excess and you say, hey, you know, I want to bless somebody else with this. You know, not all of us have a bunch of excess, do we? Probably most of us don't have a bunch of excess. But you know what? All of us have something that we can give. Whether it's supporting 500 meals in India for $1 a meal, that's pretty easy. Or if it's supporting this church through your giving, or if it's helping to put a set of steps on a trailer for someone who needs it, that's something the church is doing because you give. If it's meeting somebody at their point of need, we're spending our money wisely and we're sending it across. Now, here's what Paul says. And let us not grow weary in doing well, in doing good, or in due season, we shall reap if we do not give up. And you know, my friends, sometimes it's hard not to give up, isn't it? You've sown your seed, you've given to somebody, and you're not seeing anything that's happened. And you know what? Sometimes you just get a little tired, don't you? That's okay. This calls for perseverance. And what does that mean? That means that we keep on doing even when we don't feel like doing it. Sometimes we just like to be selfish, wouldn't we? I'm just done with it. No? Go one more time. Bless one more person. Do one more act of benevolence. Do one more act of charity. Help the poor. Bring a coat. Bring spaghetti. Keep on doing good. Because you know what? In due season, we are going to reap. And we reap what we sow. Put another way, and this relates to those first ones, good acts inspired by good teaching. This summarizes those two bookends. This summarizes maturity for Christians. Good acts inspired by good teaching. This moves us towards maturity. You know, the harvest is plentiful. We're told to praise the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. But you know what? I think that we need to be one of the part of that workforce, don't we? Most definitely. And so it ends up with this one here. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. See, this is the march towards maturity. Whenever we can take and we can bring people into the family of God and we support those ones who are within there. But you know what? No, especially, not exclusively, those who are the household of faith. You know, we can do some good. Like my friend Henry, who's going to bring 500 pagans into a pavilion to feed them. You know what? Henry does a Bible college in India. And he disciples and trains people to go out. But notice this. He is doing good. Those people were the household of faith, but you know what? He is trying to increase and enlarge the household of faith. Our takeaway from this? We need to move towards maturity. As a church, as individuals, yeah, we're doing pretty good, but you know what? We can always stand and do better. Never be content with just doing good. As Paul said, part of our move toward maturity is that we address the wrongs in a right way. That's part of maturity. We support the ministry. Wherever that ministry is, that's a move towards maturity. And that real broad statement, do good. Do good. Whatever needs to be done, meet the people at their point of lack. And begin walking in maturity. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for my family that is here. Lord, would you bless them? Lord, would you cause them to grow? Lord, cause us all to become more mature and to continue to do good, because we know if we don't faint, that in due season we're going to reap.
Lord, send us forth as inspired, Spirit-filled workers. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If my ladies could make their way to the front and begin to serve the elements of communion.
I'll get my